2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Father, we love you this evening. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love for us that never changes. It's everlasting. It's eternal. We can never do anything to make us love, make you love us anymore. We can never do anything that will make you love us any less. Father, tonight we pray that your Holy Spirit would unctionize, energize tonight. From the pulpit to the pew, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul the Apostle, what an individual he was. Wasn't always Paul the Apostle, as you well know. But he was Saul of Tarsus. He opposed Christianity. He opposed everything Christ stood for. He was against anyone, not just himself, but anyone else serving Jesus. It's bad enough when an individual doesn't want to serve Christ, but it's really bad when they don't want anybody else to serve Jesus. And this was Saul of Tarsus. He murdered Christians. Matter of fact, he was on the Damascus Road. His destination was to the place where he was going to continue murdering Christians. But something happened on that road that day. A light too bright for him to look at shined around about him. And that day on that Damascus Road, his life was changed forever. He had an experience with Jesus that changed his course in life. He had an experience with Jesus Christ that day that changed his purpose for living, that changed his will, that changed his outlook on the world itself. He had a conversion. He had a new birth experience. He had a experience with Christ that changed him from the inside. This was not outside in. This was inside out that took place that day. That's real conversion. That's transformation. The other things are reformation. Turning over a new leaf. Trying to do good. Trying to be better than we are. And trying to please people. But this experience with Jesus Christ changes the heart. Changes the heart that is hard, cold, calloused, indifferent. Makes it pliable in the Master's hands. Only Christ can do that. Only an experience with Christ can make an individual do what Paul the Apostle did after that experience. 3 days later, he was cleansed and filled with the presence and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And now he would go back into those areas, those cities, those villages where just a while back he had tried to murder Christians who believed in this Christ that now he was proclaiming. And when they saw him come, they said, "Is he not the man that just a while back was trying to kill us?" "Yep, that's me, but I had an experience with Jesus." See, this experience with Jesus changes people. This experience with Christ will change any individual that will come in repentance and accept him as their personal Savior. Now he is Paul the Apostle. Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Shipwrecked. Stone left for dead. Now he's persecuted. Now he's thrown in prison for proclaiming this Christ, this person named Jesus. But he says, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's the one that now says that I can do all things through Christ who now gives me the strength to do it. Now he is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. And he tells them, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to make it across the finish line. We're not going to be able to serve Christ the way he wants us to based upon our feelings. We're going to have victory in our souls by walking by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight means it's temporal. Sight means I can see it. I don't need any faith to know that you're sitting there. I see you with my physical eyes. Faith is not necessary. But I can't see Jesus tonight with these eyes of clay. Thereby, I have to believe in my heart that he is who he says he is. He'll do what he said he will do. Through the eye of faith, I must look at him as my compass, my guide along the journey of life. Faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one that comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We cannot please God by simply coming to church. He wants us to. But you know what really pleases God? It's when I believe in him strongly enough until I get out of the boat and start walking on the water to come to him. You say, preacher, you're talking a lot about obedience. Yes. Over the holidays this past year, I asked God, God, is there something I'm missing in my preaching? Is there something, God, that I need to say that I'm not saying? And God seemed to say, Pat, you preach faith, you preach it strong, you believe God can do anything? Yes, but Pat, the secret is we've got to obey God. As I said this morning, people believe there's a Christ who died. They believe there's a Christ who rose from the dead. They believe there's a Christ that can still perform miracles, but yet where are they? Where are they? Where's the multitudes tonight? Where's the crowd that comes on Easter Sunday morning? Oh, you see, the key, the secret is, I've got to obey this person named Jesus. How are we saved? Paul says in another letter, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for his grace tonight. Grace that is greater than all sin. That where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound. Grace, grace, God's grace. That unmerited favor that he gives to whosoever. We're sanctified by faith. We're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. It's not our works. It's not our good deeds. It's not our church attendance. It's not our church positions. But it is our faith in Jesus Christ to cleanse us and fill us with His Spirit. We are healed by faith. Physically, we are healed by faith. Financially, we receive by faith His provision for us, that our every need will be supplied. We walk by faith, not by sight. How am I going to get home to heaven? How are you going to cross the finish line and hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou the joys of the Lord. You fought a good fight. The battle's over. Here's your mansion." How are we going to get there? By faith. No other way. You cannot base your relationship with Christ upon your feelings. I confess, sometimes I don't feel spiritual. If you do, you're way up the road. You cannot base your relationship with Christ on your feelings, and you cannot base your relationship with Christ upon people. Because there will always be somebody that will try to pour water on your fire. You know why? It's because they don't have it. They don't think you can have it. And if you have it, they don't want it. But you got to get beyond people. If I had not have learned the secret, and I've been preaching now over 30 years, over three decades, and if I had not learned the secret of getting victory over people, I would have quit about 29 and a half years ago. But so many people today, my friend, they base their relationship with Christ upon what people say or what people don't say. Who speaks to them? And who doesn't speak to them? Should have had an amen right there. If not, I'm going to think you're guilty. So many Christians base their relationship with Christ upon temporal things. Things you can touch, things you can see, things you can feel. But beloved, today, if it is temporal, if you can see it, if you can touch it, it means it's not going to last forever. It means it is subject to being changed. Let me tell you this tonight. Your problem will not last forever. I say amen, hallelujah. That giant you're facing tonight is not going to stand forever. That valley you're walking through tonight that you don't know how you're going to come out of it, I've got good news for you. If you keep your hand and the nails scarred hand of Christ, you're coming out. Preacher, I don't know how I can come out of this situation. Let me tell you this. You can come out washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world tonight. And if God be for you, who can be against you tonight? I was going through a very difficult time. This has been a number of years ago. I had prayed, I'd fasted, I'd sought God, but no answer came. And I said, "God, I'm not leaving this place until I hear from you." I'm not saying that God spoke to me audibly, but He spoke to my spirit because He is a spirit. And he said, Pat, I'm for you. Everybody else might as well be. They're not. Not everybody is for you. But you know what? They might well be. Because Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, beloved, tonight, you have something on the inside of you as a child of God that is greater than the foes that you're going to face in life. You see, you have the God kind of faith living on the inside of you tonight. Jesus says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Literally, the translation says, have the God kind of faith. Romans 12:3 says that God hath dealt to every man the same measure of faith. When I got saved, He gave me a measure. He didn't give you more or less. We all received the same measure of faith. It was not angelic faith. It was not counterfeit faith. It was the same faith that Jesus had when He walked along the dusty trail of Galilee and He did the impossible. That's the kind of faith you have on the inside of you tonight, child of God. Amen. Why are so many Christians oppressed? Why are so many Christians depressed when we have God on the inside of us by faith reigning and ruling? And in our lives today, my friend, when you and I have the greatest thing on the inside of us that is greater than anything we're ever going to face in life, it's the faith of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, it's not what you're going through that really matters tonight. It's what you're going to that really counts. But you see, the secret is go through it. Don't build a tent there. Don't count there. Go through it. Because you're going to something better. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no faith in heaven. Not necessary. Because I'll see Jesus as He is. I look through a glass darkly tonight, but then that day I will see Him as He really is. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Paul the Apostle, here he is. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. This faith today, my friend, you see, we'll do the impossible for you. You say, preacher, my faith is not working for me. But the Bible says faith works by love. So if you want your faith to be effective, you got to love. Might ought to camp right here just a little bit. You can't hate anybody. You can't hold a grudge against anybody in your faith work. You can't have a bad attitude towards anybody in your faith work. You can't always be criticizing in your faith work. You can't judge everybody in your faith work. So many times we do like Jesus said, we see the speck in somebody else's eye, but we can't see the two before in ours. You see, faith will work tonight if we do it God's way. Faith will still move your mountains. Faith will still calm your seas and the waves that are raging in your life tonight. Faith in God will do the impossible for you. But you must love out of a pure heart. Everybody. Not just those that like you. Those that don't. Not those that always agree with you. But the one that never does. Faith works by love. Jesus says, love your enemies. Faith tonight, beloved friend, is got to work tonight in our churches. We have the greatest message there is. We have the buildings. We have the pastors. We have the musicians. You have two of the best. You have it all in place. Well, let me tell you, we need to put our faith to work. For faith without works is dead. Preacher, we've never done it around here before. Maybe time to do it. We've never done it that way. Maybe time. Amen. Come on, stay with me. Faith without works is dead. We today in our denomination, we have shied away from those who believe that works can save you until we only have a handful that do the work in the kingdom. No works won't save you. But if I have faith in Jesus Christ, I have a desire to build the kingdom. If I have the faith of God on the inside of me, then I want others to know the person that I know. I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I don't have the talent. I can't play. I can't sing. I can't preach. I can't teach. Well, there's something you can do that needs to be done right here in this place. Wouldn't it be great today if everybody just did something? You say, well, preacher, what if I do it wrong? You'd just be part of us. Because we've all done it wrong somewhere down the road. You see tonight, my friend, you and I today, we've got to have faith in this Christ. Strong enough until we are willing to obey Him. My favorite disciple is Peter. Oh, Peter. I guess one reason I like him so much is I can identify with him. Peter spoke sometimes when he should have been listening. Couldn't we all identify with him? But old Peter got to do some things nobody else did. Nobody else walked on the water. Only Peter. The storm was raging and Jesus says, hey disciples, it's me, don't be afraid. And old Peter says, if it is you, Jesus just told him it was. And Peter says, if it is. Did Jesus get angry at Peter? No. If it is you, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Four-letter word. Come. I've wondered about the other disciples in the boat. Have you ever wondered about them? I can just hear them mumbling at each other. Here he goes again. It's over this time. He thinks he can walk on the water. He won't do this. This is the end of old Peter. Peter takes that first step. I don't know what Jesus did to that water, or I don't know what Jesus did to Peter. I don't know if he made it concrete, or he just put skis on Peter. I don't know. But he walked on the water. Now, I wonder what the disciples back in the boat said. See, some people have to see it to believe it. But not Peter. Peter did it not based upon what someone else had done, but upon what Jesus said to do. And Peter is walking on the water. The storm is raging. The waves are boisterous, it said, when he got out of the boat. So it could not have been the storm that made Peter sink. It was a fact that he took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on the storm. Christian, don't look at your storm. Look at the master of the storm. Jesus Christ. Child of God, don't look at things around about you that are falling apart, but look to the one today that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, but it's according to the power that works within you. Peter began to sink, but Jesus didn't say, let him suffer a little bit. Let him go under two times. Jesus didn't say, Peter, why did you try it? Nobody else did. No, Jesus comes, puts his arms around Peter, takes him to safety, and says to Peter, O ye of little faith, think about this. With little faith, in the eyes of Jesus, Peter walked on the water. He didn't have great faith. He had little faith. Some of you are waiting until your faith is stronger to get out of the boat. Don't wait. Some of you are waiting until things change. Some of you are waiting until you think the timing is right. I'm here to tell you, the timing is right. It's ripe tonight. And tonight, you can exercise your faith and see your situation change. Preacher, I want more faith, you say. Let me tell you how to get it. You may tell you how to have more faith. Use what you got. Use what you got. You've got muscles. You've got muscles just like the power team does. Why don't you have it like they do? Because you ain't been to the gym, even though you got gym membership. They go. They not only join, they go. And my friend tonight, if we want our faith to be greater, to be stronger, It's not enough to pray for it. It's not enough to ask God for it. I must work the faith that I have. And when I begin to work the faith that I have already received from Christ, He will strengthen me. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Spend time with the author. Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the author of our faith, and He is the finisher and everything in between. Tonight, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. Tonight, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. Tonight, I don't know where how strong your faith is or how weak your faith is tonight. But I'm here to tell you, there's a Christ who's a giver, and He loves you. He'll strengthen you. And you've come too far to turn back. You've seen God do too much already. You've had too many prayers answered. You've seen too many miracles. You've seen God do too much in your life. So tonight, I want you just to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, as the father with a lunatic son did. And if you'll say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, you know what? God will help you. Preacher, I don't understand it. Neither do I. Preacher, I don't understand how all this works. Neither do I. If anybody tells you they got it all figured out, run just as fast as you can from that person. Don't understand. My finite mind cannot comprehend it. But when I say, Lord, here I am, it activates the grace of God. Faith tonight can give you victory tonight and tomorrow and the rest of your life. Faith tonight can slay that old giant you're facing right now. And faith tonight can move that mountain that seems so insurmountable right now. Faith in God can heal your body. Faith in God can make provision for you when the White House can't. Faith in God tonight can set you free from every stronghold in your life tonight. By faith, you can have victory. For 1 John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible. Only one that is listed as a gift and as a fruit. It's important tonight. And God tonight wants you to have everything He's promised you. Please stand. Father, tonight we love You. We thank You, Father, for Your divine presence, for Your Word that is alive. And Father, I pray tonight that if there's one in our midst, Lord, that has a need, a spiritual need, Lord, that tonight they would just step out and come forward and say, Jesus, I want